Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch, artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/breadboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.
Attention, Sharon Brito. Sharon Brito, pay attention.
Sharon Brito's a good, good friend of mine. Admits to listening to the Smokes all time. Late in the evening, her children asleep. After she drops them at school, she likes the banter game show, Antonio and the Wisecracking. The banter, the game show, Antonio and the Wisecracking.
Welcome to Holy Smokes Catholic Review, your weekly dose of good cigars and the good news. This podcast is brought to you by St. John Vianney Catholic Church in Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Incensing the temple today, Father Scott Mansfield, pastor and former rock radio DJ, Tony Willamitis, the guy who knows everything, and Will Tapia, the guy who thinks he knows everything. Now, here's your host, Father Scott.
Thank you, Scotty Chapin. It's Father Mansfield Scott, and we are Holy Smokes Catholic Review. That's William and an ailing.
A-I-L-I-N-G,
as
ailing.
As he right. coughs into the microphone.
I am under the weather. Did you forget your name?
He was so mesmerized by his own song that he forgot his name.
Yeah. It was pretty fun. I like that song. I like the part about Antonio.
Yeah, you like that part?
Yep. That's my favorite part.
I'm not going to lie to you. I think this is your... So, spoiler alert, stick around for the whole podcast, ladies and gentlemen, because you're in for a special treat. There may or may not, I cannot confirm or deny, but there may be an extra special song at the end of this podcast that we all previewed. And I got to say...
That's one of the better ones. All of them are good.
This is some of your best work I've done.
You're really coming up. You must have had some extra time on your hands after that big turkey sandwich that you ate this last week, yeah. Father.
I was in a coma on the couch pretty much the whole time.
With the guitar, just, you know.
Jamming.
Did you watch the Dallas Cowboys and the Detroit Lions?
I did.
And how did those games
come out?
Well,
they didn't play each other.
Yeah,
but
it was the Dallas Cowboys and the Bills.
Well, in keeping with tradition, Detroit lost. And then,
that is kind of a tradition, yeah.
Yeah, and then the Cowboys, and that's becoming a tradition now, they lost to Father Marshall's Bills.
Yep. That was a crazy game, though, wasn't it? I saw the tail end of it.
How was... How did your Patriots fare? Didn't they play this weekend?
Yesterday. Bum, bum,
was that
bum.
Yesterday? Did they win?
My team, what? I'm a Baltimore Ravens.
Everyone's disowning me now. They had a rough weekend.
Yeah, I've been rooting for the Ravens since 1985. Mm-hmm,
sure you did.
What are you talking about, man?
Sure you are.
I know.
What am I?
There was a point. So we were watching the game together last night. There was a point, I think, after Brady dropped the ball again or something, where you started to root for the Houston Texans.
Yeah, I was like, just kill him. Just kill him. Okay, no. Just go ahead and kill him.
Put them out of their misery.
Oh, they have no front line. Their receivers, with the exception of Edelman, everybody else stinks. It's so unbelievable. I'm very upset. Can't you tell?
I can tell that. In fact, you need another big turkey sandwich. Did you get your big turkey sandwich with all the lettuce and the tomato and all that that you were looking
for? I ate so many turkey sandwiches that I don't want to see a turkey sandwich for a whole year.
Wow. That's a bold statement, dude.
How about you, Will? Did you eat some turkey? Did you have turkey?
Oh, I did. Yes, I did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I love, turkey is arguably one of my favorite meats. It's so killer, man. So, yeah, I totally gorged myself on Thanksgiving. And
you ended up, I know for a fact, you even participated in the making of things.
I did, yeah. So I tried my hand this year after a long hiatus. I used to bake with my grandma when I was a lot younger, and so now that I'm older, I was like, I need to have a thing that I do for Thanksgiving that I bring that's not like something pre-bought or whatever, something that's just my thing. So this year I wanted to kind of rekindle that baking. So I baked some pumpkin pies, and like from the full pumpkin, I roasted the whole pumpkin, everything, and carved it up and whatever. And then, so I baked like 7-8 pumpkin pies, and then wow. I baked, and I still have all this leftover pumpkin too. So I got to figure out what to do with that.
I made
and
something. Then, I made something.
What'd you make?
A mess.
Uh-huh. On your plate from which you were eating. Well, yeah. I tasted said pumpkin pie. It was very delicious, actually. Mm-hmm. Wow. And the fact that it was all homemade was pretty awesome.
And then I did an apple pie too.
You did an apple pie that was also very good.
And then I
was able to sample
some traditional New Mexican natillas, which is like a, I don't know, it's like a custard, like a like a cinnamony custard that's real traditional to New Mexico. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, good for you.
Thanks, man.
You know, that's the great, that's the one of the metaphors I always like to use because it's an easy one to recognize.
A what?
A metaphor. In America, when it comes to, say, participation in the parish, right? We should be bringing something to the event. Now, I would dare say that I'm not going to equate the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass with a simple meal like Thanksgiving. Please understand me correctly. But what I am suggesting is we all ought to be participating in the life of the church in some way. First and foremost, through our vocations, but then also, through what we can contribute. So good for you, Will, stepping it up and like contributing something to, but I'm like Father, I'm kind of a slacker. I don't really.
Speaking of contributing to the meal, tell us, Tony.
Yeah, I don't contribute much other than my eating skills.
Hey, I do have to say I tried. So he brought over, we had some friends who got together and he brought a bourbon barrel.
I know how to purchase wine.
Yeah.
That's what I know how to do.
It was a really tasty wine. Bourbon barrel.
Bourbon barrel Zinfandel.
Zinfandel. Yeah.
Did you spend your Thanksgiving in Hawaii?
I did not. No, I was actually with a bunch of monks on Thanksgiving, and we had a great time together. It was a really beautiful way to spend the Thanksgiving holiday, I might add.
Where is this?
This was at a monastery. And,
okay, but where was the monastery? Or where is the monastery?
I can't tell you my little retreats because then people will know where I'm at.
They'll hunt you down. They'll follow you. You know what they call that nowadays? They call it droning you. They send a drone to track you now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, suffice it to say, my family doesn't get together anymore they used to for the holiday. And so I have to find some alternative things to do. Although there, I do have second family, right? We all have second family. I mean, inevitably, Father, you must have ended up with maybe some parishioners or some friends, something like that, to spend your time with. Mm-hmm. great time to do that. And I'm assuming the Tapia family must have a big old to-do as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's always funny because everyone has their own kind of like, all the my dad's brothers and sisters all have their own families, and he's one of nine, and they all have their own kids, and whose kids have kids, and so like really quickly, like it's hard to get everybody together because it's just crazy, it's just absolutely crazy, and you have to have like 15 turkeys and whatever, and have the party outside when it's snowing, which it did this year. P.S. to everybody who might not be from New Mexico, we got some crazy snow Wednesday. At Wednesday before Thanksgiving Day, and then the Friday afterwards, it was nuts.
Well, we had 6 inches, about maybe even 7 over at St. John Vianney.
Yeah, and for New Mexico, that's like, it's like the snowpocalypse. Like, it was pretty wild. So we just kind of do like each of the families kind of does their own like little thing. So my family was like immediate family, which is I like it, because you can kind of not as formal and
yeah.
Light a fire and smoke a cigar out on the patio. No one cares.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, a lot of people were probably spending their weekend up on the mountains in the snow, skiing, snowboarding, all kinds of snow sports. up there.
And they
because of that beautiful white stuff.
Yeah, man.
And all kinds of ski slopes opening up already and now, rocking and rolling. So.
I don't know what Santa Fe ended up with, but I know that Wednesday when the snow started to fall, they were predicting for Santa Fe 2 feet in like 12 hours, dude.
Wow.
It was something insane like
that's
that.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Praise God for that. It's supposed to be a wet and cold winter, and that's good for the desert because we need every drop of water we can get. You know, not to mention the living water. And speaking of living water, you know, we just entered the season of Advent.
That's right.
That was a great segue.
Thanks.
I just want to take a second. Can we just have a moment of silence and appreciate how beautiful that segue was?
I'm not smoking cigars or anything tonight, not just because I'm sick, but also because it's actually one of the things that I decided to give up during Advent. I'm out of a desire to make Advent more of a penitential preparation.
As a lot
for
of
the
people
holy
do.
Season of Christmas, as we ought to all to do, as the church recommends, in fact.
Yeah. Right.
So my question to you guys is, what kind of things have you decided to do special to observe this holy season that we've now found ourselves in all of a sudden?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, William, you go ahead, and I'll think of something. By the
time I'm really trying to. My godson's family has given up, but they're giving up desserts. And so I've decided to join them in that. And
nice.
Just kind of make it more of a Lenten type of observance, I guess you'd say, so that it's on par. And of course, I have a lot of things to do spiritually to improve myself as
right.
well, you know?
I personally am spending more time in front of the Blessed Sacrament.
That's good.
Man.
Hey, you know who else is doing that, by the way? Side note, did you guys hear about Bishop Strickland?
Joe Strickland,
who was ordained by Archbishop Sheehan, wasn't he?
Right.
When Sheehan was in Lubbock, Texas,
right.
He ordained Strickland. Well, Strickland
close
now
friends.
Is a
close
bishop.
Friends.
Strickland's now a bishop, and he, out of a desire to draw more attention to the Blessed Sacrament.
Right.
Let's put it simply. He has decided that this year, starting in the at the beginning of the liturgical year, Advent, because, you know, we're in the new year. Happy New Year.
Hey.
He's going to make a pilgrimage to every one of his parishes and spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament.
I think that's awesome.
And then, of course, on those days, I'm sure he'll invite the people of that parish to join him. But that's going to be his effort to draw more attention to what we believe as Catholics about the Blessed Sacrament. So
that's
good for
awesome.
You, Father. I think that's awesome. What a,
I love it.
What a great thing.
Thank you.
I love
I'm
it.
I'm sure that's a very special thing for a priest to spend time with the master.
I love to go into that little church around 4 in the morning or you know when and when the you know the sky is or the sun's on the other side of the mountain and there's that blue hue
as it's coming up
as it's coming up. That's a great a special time for me
when we have such a great view of the mountains too out there.
Yeah,
absolutely beautiful.
Hey, can I mention the song that we kicked off this
that's coming back
with?
To you. Uh-huh.
Well, I just wanted to, you know, Sharon Brito, you know.
Hey, shout out to Sharon Brito.
She bugged me. I got about 8 gazillion
times. We finally got a song out for her.
Where is my song? I want a song. Write me a song. I need a song. Where's the song? You promised a song. Why don't I have a song? It's been 2 weeks. I still don't have a song. 8 billion texts. It's unbelievable.
You know,
this woman would not leave me alone.
Well, she's like the woman in the scriptures, right? That our Lord uses as an example. The one who can... continually bugs the judge.
Right.
And but she's a great lady. Her husband, Bart Rito, is a good guy. Bart,
nice.
Bart Rito. How dare you?
It's Art Rito.
Art, we're sorry.
I'm just
Art's
kidding.
The man. Art's the man, I'll tell you what. He is a, Art is one cool dude.
Oh, he's really cool.
Yeah, he's the best.
Well, dude, I don't hang around
with
people.
You know what you
want
to do?
No, hold on. I don't hang around with people that are not cool.
Well, you hang around us.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that might be by necessity.
I know, but this is charity. No, it's charity. It's charity in your case.
Already that time in front of the Blessed Sacrament seems to be paying dividends.
Well, with a name like Art Brito, how could you not be cool?
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, in fact, we should have him on the program. We should have them both on the program, Art and Sharon Brito.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but no, he's a cool dude, man. And she's awesome. And our friends, you know, these other people that we hang out with.
All of them.
They're all cool.
Yeah, they are. What? They're all great.
I was going to say the Crawfords, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. The Luceros, shout out to the Luceros.
Yeah.
You guys were spending some time with them.
I met up with Marcel, on Friday evening for a beer, so it was good to catch up.
And I took him to a party over at our Miguel's house, my friend, new parishioner Miguel, and his wife, Marisa. And the guards were there, so I introduced all of them to
each other.
To each other. And we've a newfound, like, a bonding of, fellowship and friendship. It's
great.
A beautiful thing.
That's awesome.
Look at that, man.
The network continues. Yeah. It's not too hard to do in this church of ours.
It's awesome.
Because it's already bolstered by grace.
But it's really unique, I think, in big ways in this diocese or in New Mexico, because you talk to people from, even, from Phoenix, that they don't, this just doesn't happen like it does here.
I think you're right.
People take good care of each other. We got a new family that comes to the parish. Mm-hmm. The lady's pregnant, right? So all the ladies of the parish get together to make this lady and her husband or her whole family, she's got other kids, meals, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just how it just operates here.
So awesome, cool, man. Yeah. Yeah, it is a great parish.
How about you, Will? What are you going to do for Advent?
There we go. I was wondering if we were going to circle back around. So, for Advent, I am trying to get back on the train of praying my rosary every day.
Awesome.
I fell hard off that train once Lent was over. I was like, so good. I was like, I'm going to be great about it. I'm going to pray all the time. And then it's just like, I'm just a bad person. It just, I fell off that train pretty heavily. So.
Well, that's like so many other things. Like, if it's not on the calendar, it doesn't happen. If it's not on the daily
especially
agenda,
especially like as a personal devotion and like really struggling to focus on the mysteries and focus on the mysteries of like, I've been trying to focus on the joyful mysteries for the season of Advent. And so just really actually trying to think about the mysteries and not letting my mind wander as I, rant off a bunch of Hail Marys and stuff like that. So
sure.
I've been trying to do that. And I've also just been trying to avoid, slipping in speech, shall we say?
Yeah.
In certain situations of frustration, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Catch my drift there.
Yeah, you're so, cursing like a sailor, bro.
No, stop.
I've been around you. I know how it is.
Most of the things
that come out of your mouth are not G-rated.
I'm gonna go roll you out of that in the little chair that you have there. I'm gonna roll you out of
You're
that
not a Disney movie.
Year.
Let me just break it to you.
I'm kidding.
I've actually very rarely have heard Will cuss.
No, and so it's always like, I think there's different spirits to all this stuff, but essentially it's like just someone cuts you off in traffic, like the right response is to feel empathy for that person and see them as a child of God. Exactly. Yeah. Right. And not angrily, mutter something under your breath to yourself. It's not the best.
Is that what you do, Father? When people cut you off in traffic, do you say prayers for them? Do you get out your blessing book while you're driving?
Eventually I get around to it.
What about you, Tony? What do you do? Cause I know you're not
I'm
pulling
sure
out a blessing
I don't.
Book.
Yeah. I likewise have to work on that part of myself. Just the self-discipline.
Yeah, I lost it on the road today. I got to admit it.
Yeah.
It's hard not to.
It's easy. It's one of the
I just lost it.
Easy...
These people. I can't take it.
Right.
And so I lost it.
What's funny is to think about all the other people on the road who are saying the same thing about us.
I know.
They're all in the same boat.
No, I mean, even driving up here for this podcast today was a test of my charity. Like, I'm over there, and so yesterday too, we were driving back from the parish, and so all of Southern, one of the main arteries that connects Rio Rancho, is under this, just massive overhaul with construction, and so all the construction and all the cones are all over the place, and cars are going like 80 miles an hour flying down that thing, and so I'm there and just like, oh.
Two things occurred to me this week while I was with the monks who keep a great amount of silence in their life. One is how did I get by?
Talk to your
I talked to myself in the room.
My son, go back to where you came from.
Yeah. You guys are,
that's
you
why
guys
he,
are jerks.
That's why he's hoarse now. He just talked their ears off.
You guys are jerks.
Yeah.
Well, it occurred to me that the whole Christian community would benefit from this ethic of silence that monks live or attempt to live. They're not perfect at it either. But I think we all could, because think of all the things, all the sins, the venial sins, especially that occur by the tongue, use of the tongue.
Oh, totally.
St. James said, the man who tames the tongue is the same as a perfect man.
Mm-hmm. Hey, there you go. Well, it makes me think of the book that.
Boom. That's where I was going to go.
that Cardinal Seurat wrote, The Power of Silence, that I took with me to the monastery. And it was kind of surreal. I was reading passages that where he's talking about the profound spirituality of silence, and I was enmeshed in silence there.
Well, he obviously references like monks and monastic life really heavily and talks about the Carthusians.
Well, in fact, he had just visited the Grand Chartreuse, the Carthusian monastery, at the beginning of the book when he starts to write down those reflections.
Well, the monks told me it would not have been so bad had you not read the book out loud.
That's what they do during their meal.
The power of silence is the greatest good of all.
The second thing I noticed when I was there was, like you were saying earlier about the rosary will, is, man, like when you have it built into your day, prayer happens.
Yeah.
You know? What a great concept to take away.
Now, I do the rosary every day.
To like have like an exact time that certain prayers are going to happen throughout the day, and then like just keep that schedule no matter what.
Yep.
Well, and no exception.
I mean, it's like anything in our life, right? You have to do something repetitively enough that it becomes a habit. And that was like, I mean, years ago, now as an adult, like I make my own bed, but it had to become a conscious decision of like, I need to make my bed, where you wake up and it gets so built into your routine.
Right.
So sure. Like the first couple of weeks, like making your bed, it's like, I got to do this again, whatever. But then you get so used to it that like now I literally don't even think about it anymore. Like I get up first thing, make my bed. Or I'll make a cup of coffee, make the bed, and it's done.
And it takes, what, 30 seconds?
Maybe even 30 seconds. But now that it's routine, right, and it's just all about establishing these kind of like, it's not even a structure. It's like a microstructure within your day of planning, of anticipation, and of habit. And that is how, that's how prayer is built on, dude. That's how we divide. I mean, it's the whole concept of discipline in small things becomes discipline in great things.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So, hey, listen, we got to, I'm going to switch gears a little bit.
Hey, yo,
okay,
switch those gears. Wait. You have to have an epic segue, though. We're on this great segue train.
Speaking of gears, let's switch them.
Boom.
Oh, hey, that's good. Nice. Okay. So, Jennifer Gonzalez sent us a
review. Jen, how's it going?
Hey, Jen.
Here's your number 40. That's number 40, and that makes 40 reviews.
Bing, bing, bing.
Man, that's
by
awesome.
By Thanksgiving, okay? Woo. Bros good in Christ, she says. Just wanted to send you some review love. I'm grateful for how much you guys make me laugh on my drive to work. How on point Will's impression of Father is.
Yeah, man.
And how you evangelize through cigar reviews and sharing the gospel. Praying for you guys. Please pray for me, too.
That's absolutely. Awesome.
Jen,
and
thank you.
And that car that you're
also gerbil. She said
she
gerbil.
Says gerbil
in the review. Yes,
that's ridiculous.
Holy gerbils.
We bring up Marcel Lucero Jr. on occasion.
Mm-hmm.
His impersonation of me, it's just Elvis.
No, he does. He sounds like Elvis. I wish
hey, man.
We should call him up and have him do it. But yeah, he's like, hey man, I'm Father Scott, man.
Hey, you know, man.
Hey, man. What's going on, man? In the name of the Father and the Son. So, it sounds like this real
sound like
Elvis thing.
What do they say, Dave? Yeah. I'm Deacon Dave all of a sudden.
Yeah, man, Deacon Dave, bro.
Yeah, yeah. Imitation is the highest form of flattery.
Yeah.
Isn't that what they say?
Mm-hmm. I guess so.
So you're being very flattered.
There you go. Look at that. Full of flattery.
Yeah.
You're very flat.
not after Thanksgiving dinner. Oh,
you're done. Get out.
Hey,
get out. Get your paycheck. Get that.
While we're still in one of Sharon's favorite segments of the show, that is, i.e., the chitter chatter, the banter.
The banter.
I wanted to share a quick fun discovery.
You know what I wish? Real quick,
just cut what? You off.
You know the local TV people.
Uh-huh.
I wish they wouldn't attempt a banner. Banter.
That, like, the news people?
Between like the anchor person and the weather person. Just don't do it.
It's awkward.
I watched
it. It's mostly awkward.
God bless him.
Just don't do it.
I saw one today, actually, and we'll go back to you, Tony, but I just saw one today with like a new weather person, and they were trying it. And I was like, well, yeah, it looks like the roads are getting bad out there. He's like, yeah. Yeah, they're getting bad. What do you think about the roads? And just like this really awkward exchange back and forth. Oh, I can
that's
awesome.
The only one who can do it is Mark Ronchetti.
Yeah.
He's good. That guy should be on. He could be like on Fox or something.
We'd have Mark Ronchetti on this podcast.
Yeah, we should have him on. We should invite him.
Yeah.
Let's see if he smokes cigars.
Tony, what
speaking
were you talking about?
Of the use of media, came across an awesome use of popular social media, I don't even know what you call it, media on the internet recently, and wanted to share it. Mm-hmm. It's called Storybooks for Special Kids. storybooks of special kids, storybooks for special kids. SB as in boy, SK as in Karen, SBSK. And it's gone from Facebook now to YouTube, where I have encountered it. And it's all about this gentleman who started out as a special education teacher, and now he does video interviews with people of various diagnoses of things that are that none of us suffer from. They could be physical issues, they could be mental issues, etc. And they are situations that really make these people special. And I tell you what, it's phenomenal what this guy is doing to bring awareness to the dignity of the human person, regardless of their condition. And as I was watching a recent video of his, and I forget his name, unfortunately, but you can find him, I'm sure, on YouTube, SBSK. As I was watching a recent episode, I was thinking he's kind of like the modern Mr. Rogers, you know, of whom we're, you know, modern movie and so forth is being made. It was such a great effort. What a great use of, I was thinking, great use of social media at a time when social media is being so misused, it seems, you know.
No, I think that's great. I haven't seen this, full disclosure. I haven't seen this at all. But no, I think it is a beautiful reflection of the things that you're saying are true, right? Because I think that there is an attack on people who are different than like what we think as the norm.
Yeah.
I know that like that there's these rampant laws, not only in the US, but even globally, where they're trying to push like abortion for children who have Down syndrome, who are diagnosed in the womb as having Down syndrome. And how, I mean, just what a terrible, terrible thing that is, how degrading that is, not only to people who have Down syndrome, but as you said, to like our humanity.
Yeah.
You know, image and likeness of God.
And by the way, medical science isn't always right. And a baby is born. Mm-hmm. Doctors say, oh, this baby might have Down syndrome.
Yeah.
Baby is born and is.
Yeah. Well, you know,
when I think it's
and even if it was true, though, it's like it's still just like such an attack on humanity.
Absolutely. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it absolutely is. It denies.
And you talk about the Lord's presence on earth besides the Blessed Sacrament.
Mm-hmm.
Are young children who are ill or with Down syndrome. I mean, talk about just God's presence.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dude, totally.
Unbelievable.
And I think of like an example like St. Gemma Galgani, who was a young girl. It escapes me. I read a biography on her, and I forget exactly how old she was when she died. I want to say she was like 12, maybe even younger. But just the incredible suffering that she endured in her life through various ailments, illnesses, things like that. And the example that she left to the fact that she's a saint today, right? St. Teresa of Lisieux is another great example of a young person who suffered tremendously. So we have these incredible examples in the church, and it's like, you know, it's
well, we look forward to Christmas, which is the celebration of the incarnation of our God in the flesh as a baby.
Boom.
Right? Born came to our earth in the flesh. And I think it's a reminder that God comes, you know, God is part of every human person that is born.
Mm.
And we ought to revere that. So here's to finding ways like this particular YouTube channel I mentioned to come to a great appreciation of that in all our lives with all of the humans around us. Father, we got a trivia today, or are we just going to do some cigar reviews?
Well, I've got a trivia.
Do you? Well, we ought to do it then.
Okay, it is St. Nicholas trivia.
Wow.
Wow, cool.
St.
Oh,
Nicholas.
Yeah, he's coming up soon.
Okay. Santa Claus.
Here we go. Number one, the Feast of St. Nicholas is blank.
Awesome. And usually involved and filled with candy.
December 6th.
There you go.
Yeah, that too.
Boom.
Yeah.
Okay, number two, St. Nick was the bishop of
Smyrna.
Yep.
What?
Smyrna.
No.
St. Nicholas was not the bishop
Myra.
Of Myra. 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 Yeah, I don't know why. Where, is there a Smyrna?
Yes,
yeah,
there is.
Yeah, there is a Smyrna, but it's not. He wasn't.
Saint, you're thinking of St. Ignatius of Antioch.
Something like that.
Because he wrote letters to the community in Smyrna.
Maybe so.
Sounds like you're saying Smirnoff.
Smyrna?
Well, they drank Smirnoff.
That's where it comes from, actually.
Could be.
Myra.
Right.
Yep. Myra is the answer.
St. Nick was present at what council?
Council of Nicaea. 3 for 3. What's up,
wow,
Tony?
Wow, good job,
what's
brother.
Up?
I'm sick. That's my excuse.
Let's
fight. I'm under the weather.
Let's move these
Number
chairs
Number four,
in
what shocking thing did Nick do during that council?
Go ahead, take this
nope,
one.
Nope, do it, bro. You're on a roll.
Punched Arius square in the jaw.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Mm-hmm. It's a true statement. And isn't there an iconography of that somewhere?
I don't know.
I could have sworn there was.
Maybe.
But yeah, so Arius, the heretic who was claiming that Jesus was not God.
And they gave it the title, The Friday Night Smackdown.
Yeah. It must have been, yeah, it was a Friday night.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Friday night in Nicaea.
Yeah.
Let's get ready to rumble.
And of course, that was because Arius proclaimed the Arian heresy that Jesus Christ was not God. Excuse me. And St. Nicholas, and I mean, just a real quick sidetrack. I mean, you think about the context of like the Council of Nicaea, all these guys in 325 experienced the persecutions of Diocletian experience. Like they said that when they dug up St. Nicholas's bones, his skeleton showed visible signs of torture.
Wow.
So they said that his nose had been broken and pushed back up into his skull. Oof. And it healed over without being fixed. So you think about these bishops who are missing fingers, missing hands from these horrendous persecutions under the Roman emperors, right? So they're in this council.
That or Arius got a few good licks in before.
I guess, right?
That could be.
But you know, they're in this council after experiencing all this stuff for proclaiming that Jesus Christ is God and that these things are true, and then to have someone from their own rank say that Jesus Christ is not God, you can only imagine the kind of anger that one would feel in that situation.
Kind of puts our differences that we get so heated about, you know, to shame.
Mm-hmm. You know, well, it goes to show
Coke
you that
real Coke or new Coke, you know,
people, right. Like, but it goes to show you
going
that
to fist the cups over stupid stuff,
conflict and disagreement from the very beginning. You know, it's perpetuated throughout time.
Yeah, but those people back then seemed to fight about stuff that really mattered. You know. Mm-hmm.
Okay, number five, and there are many answers to this. If you can name one, you win. Saint Nicholas is the patron saint of.
Sailors.
Just pick one. There you go. How'd you know that?
His shipwreck was... So that's why his body is located in Bari, Italy right now. Because he was on a ship from Myra. I think it was... I imagine it was Myra where he was buried originally. He was on a ship from Myra to Rome. And it got shipwrecked in a storm and ended up going ashore at Bari, where they built a church and housed the relics. And yeah, so that's what he is.
I'm assuming he's also the patron of children.
There you go.
Nice. Yeah. Well done.
Okay, and you know
maybe,
what else?
Maybe also girls. Isn't there something about girls needing a dowry to get married? Wasn't that part of the legend of him giving gifts?
But he also rescued young girls from prostitution.
There you go.
That's what it was, yeah.
Fishermen, broadcasters, repentant thieves. Here's one for Will. Brewers.
Hey, wow. Really?
Yeah. Archers, pawnbrokers, and pharmacists.
Pawnbrokers.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Pawn
store.
Well, that's what it said on Wikipedia.
Pawn store owners.
That's pretty funny.
Okay, pawn shop.
Number
pawn
six, shops. Will already answered this. Nicholas is buried where?
Bari.
He's buried in Bari.
Exactly. And not long ago, a small coin-sized hole was cut in the top of the altar that is over his body, and cameras were lowered.
Yep.
Yep. And he was phonographed.
Was he down there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Well, they've pulled his bones out as well and then taken 3D scans of
but
him.
They had to because the decay is pretty soon it's going to be no more.
Well, what's pretty amazing, though, is that his bones to this day still seep holy oil.
Yeah.
And so every year on his feast day, they lower this vial down, and they've done it for centuries. They lower this vial down through this hole in the altar. And then it's like a little vial to collect some of the holy oil that gets displayed as a relic and distributed to the parishes.
Okay, number seven, cool. Final question, ready?
Yes.
Nicholas eventually retired, moved north, packed on some pounds. Now he only works one day a week, or a year, that is. True or false? One day a year he works. True or false?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm really struggling
with it. It kind of reminds me of those guys that work one day a week.
Who will?
Hey, Father.
True or false? Yeah, no, he's working all year round because he's in heaven. He's a saint of the church. He's part of the community of saints, and he is probably up there praying for everybody.
Hey, okay. all I'm saying is, speaking of one day working a week, wearing a red sweater with a white undershirt, you're looking awfully festive there, Father Scott.
Yeah, looking very much like Santa Claus.
One day a year, I said, not a week. I said a week, but it was my mistake. Hey, listen. Do ask me if I believe in Santa Claus.
Do you believe in Santa Claus?
I do.
Why?
Saint Nicholas, because the saints in heaven are more alive than we are.
Hey.
Hello.
Yeah, I've seen some discussion over the course of time of whether or not Catholics should teach their children to believe in Santa Claus. And I think it could be done in such a way as to draw a connection between the mythological figure and the actual Saint Nicholas, and done in such a way that it doesn't set them up for some kind of sense of like delusion and being lied to by their parents but maybe seamlessly, if you do it carefully, maybe seamlessly transitioning them into a belief in Saint Nicholas, who is alive. Santa Claus is alive.
Yep. And let me say this too. So Santa Claus, my understanding is it comes from the German Sant Niklaus. Saint Nicholas in German.
Santa Claus. I thought it was Sinterklaas.
It could be.
It kind of goes through a series of etymological developments. Right.
But our current Santa Claus is courtesy of the Coca-Cola bottling company.
Marketing. I mean, the vast majority of secular world uses the figure of Santa Claus as a marketing agent.
Yeah, big old fat guy who eats all your cookies. Sounds like someone.
So we do well to be intentional. I mean, it's like every other holiday, right?
Don't say who you're thinking.
You're ridiculous.
We've all got our own
weight,
version.
But come on,
man. It's nobody in this room. Somebody very close.
We've all got our own idea of Santa Claus.
Okay, so listen, you know what I think.
What's that?
You know what I'm thinking.
What do you think? Tell me what you think.
It's time for
what
a
do you
cigar
think, Father Scott?
Review.
There you go. Hey.
You like to smoke cigars. You wish your girlfriend would.
Okay, so here, I'm going to start.
Yeah, do it.
I promised that I would not dip into the Regina cigars, however.
Okay.
Last night.
You chain smoked them.
That lasted all
Let me
all
guess,
of,
you chain smoked them.
That lasted all of 4 days.
No, I only smoked one out of the batch, okay? But last night I had the Avus et Avia, and I'm like, what does that mean?
You looked it up.
It means grandparents. So it's to honor.
Guess the no-no and the no-na.
Yeah.
It's Joachim and Anna.
Right.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's so cool.
So it's appropriate because this is Advent, right?
Absolutely.
And again, it was a light cigar. Again, just a beautiful burn.
Wow.
Beautiful taste.
Awesome.
It was great. Watched a movie, smoked that cigar, loved it. It was great.
That's really cool.
Now I am smoking I picked it up today over at the Total Wine.
The HUD.
And they got a new girl working there. And apparently, because, you know, when she bagged up the cigars in the little plastic baggies.
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't think she knows you have to ziplock them. You know, you got to put the ziplock.
So they fell out?
Yeah, they're all over the place.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness.
That's pretty awesome.
She was very sweet. But,
God bless her. Well, seasonal help probably.
Okay, I'm smoking the Rocky Patel. This is the Battalion Maduro.
Wow.
It's a 6x60, okay? So,
ooh.
And you can see it's a Maduro, all right. But
yeah,
see that burn?
Yeah, it's looking good.
Yeah, and it's a little, you know, it's got a little bite to it. It's got some kick to it.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm enjoying it. The draw, though, is, not, you know, I'm so used to the Padron draw.
Yeah.
That this takes a little work.
Yeah, the Padron draw is very easy.
Mm-hmm.
Very easy.
What was the brand one more time?
Rocky Patel.
Rocky Patel, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. I'm actually smoking a Patel myself. I wanted to say thank you, Tony. Shout out to Tony.
For sure.
And I'm saving that one for next week.
Okay. Yeah, do it.
I wanted to try this one this week, but...
I gave you my last remaining cigar, since I'm going to take a break from them for Advent. The one I had left was the Melanio Maduro, which I've reviewed on this show before.
Mm-hmm.
And you haven't had it yet, so I wanted to give you that. There's the Melanio Natural, which we've all had, but not the Maduro. So I'll see how you like it.
Yeah, I don't think I've had the Maduro, but if anything, just how Melanio is by Oliva, it's going to knock it out of the park. I'm so excited for that next week.
Cool.
So I'm going to save it. This week, so I'm smoking a Rocky Patel as well. I'm smoking the Rocky Patel Platinum Limited Edition cigar. I haven't seen this at Total Wine, nor have I seen it at Havana House. Not saying it's not there, but I haven't seen it there. I picked this up at Four Winds Travel Center.
Yeah, downtown Albuquerque. 12th Street in Manal. I was just down there this last week myself.
Did you run into St. Francis and St. Dominic?
Yeah.
12th Century. 12th Street in Manal.
Yeah, yeah, 12th Street
They actually have a decent selection of wines
they do.
And cigars.
Yeah. I wouldn't say, like, I think you have to get the cigars that are, like, that are freshly out there. I think if they stay too long, it just, you know, it's not a really well-maintained humidor. But luckily, this one, I snagged this one. It seemed like they just opened the box. So, This is amazing. I'm a little bummed out. I think it's a 6x60, also just size-wise. It's a box-pressed cigar. It's not a Maduro, but it's darker than a natural. So whatever that weird like little middle area is, it's a darker cigar.
Habana.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess they usually refer to that as Habana.
Right. It's got a Habano wrapper. It's box pressed, like I said. It's got, unfortunately, it kind of has a little bit of a weird burn right now. But I'm kind of working on it. You'll hear me light up the lighter during the podcast to try and even that out. However,
but sometimes they manage to even themselves out
as they burn.
You just let them go.
Yeah. But I have to say, flavor-wise, it is absolutely phenomenal. It has like this sweetness to it, but not sugary. It's like this really mellow sweetness. It's not spicy. It's a really rich cigar. I looked up on the Rocky Patel website to just get some more information on it. And so it says it's a Connecticut broadleaf, Ecuadorian Habano seed wrapper. And they say that it... And so I would never use this term. This is how they describe it, as a barnyard earthiness.
Wow.
Does that sound gross?
That doesn't sound good.
No, a barnyard.
I've been around some barnyards. Well, that doesn't sound so good.
I think barnyard, I think manure.
Barnyard.
Manure and straw.
It says a barnyard earthiness. But I mean, again, for me, it has this kind of nice, this really subtle sweetness to it. That's not sugary, but it's a really nice mellow sweetness. I am absolutely loving the taste of this thing. Rocky Patel Platinum Limited Edition Cigar. I would highly recommend. Apparently, it's rated 92 points on Cigar Advisor or something like that. So, check it out.
Well, the burn on this one's starting to get a little funky.
Yeah, so it's weird, right? Because it looks like it's even, but then when you look up close, it has a little like waviness to it.
Yeah, get a little funky there, bro. But it still tastes good, so I'm happy. Is that it?
I wanted to give a shout-out to a friend of mine, though. Speaking of cigars... let me just pull this up here. Mm-hmm. My friend David Floto,
mm-hmm.
who's out in Honduras.
Wasn't
actually
he in that movie?
Yeah, Lord of the Rings. Floto.
Oh, yeah, Floto.
My precious.
Sam Gamgee and Floto.
Floto, the Floto bots.
Okay, so what about Floto?
So he's out in Honduras, doing some stuff for work, and he made a trip out to OV Cigars. OV Cigars. And so he actually visited the cigar plantation. It was so cool. He was taking pictures walking through the plants and stuff like that, and of the cigar factory down in Honduras, of them hand wrapping all the stuff. So he's going to send some cigars over.
Awesome.
So I'm looking forward to trying that stuff. So shout out to David. Cannot wait to try that stuff, man.
Very sounds
hip.
Great.
Very hip.
Yeah. And I've got nothing, by the way, this week because I've been sick. And at the monastery, so not smoking anything lately. But come Christmas time, I'll smoke a cigar.
Did you get sick at the monastery?
Yeah, probably. It's all that 3:45 a.m. first prayer of the day, waking up kind of thing. It stresses your body out, you know. But I had a good time. Mm-hmm. It was definitely awesome. Mm-hmm. All right, so that's the cigar review, yeah?
Yeah.
I've got the gospel here.
Well, then read it.
Should we read it?
Do it. Read it, sick boy.
It is from December the 1st, the first Sunday of Advent.
That's right. We're now, by the way, in Cycle A, in case anyone wondering.
We've gone back to Cycle A.
Cycle A.
Cool.
A.
Starting the new liturgical year.
A.
And this gospel comes from Matthew 24, verses 37 to 44.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And in it we hear, Jesus said to his disciples, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. In those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not know until the flood came and carried them all away. So will it be also at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be out in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come. Be sure of this: if the master of the house had known the hour of night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So too, you also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come."
Okay, I want to kick this off, okay, and get this out of the way, because otherwise I'll forget, okay?
Do it.
Okay, George Meyerson Jr. is good friends with a guy named Paul Thigpen, who's written many books, including a book called The Rapture Trap.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah, Thigpen is an apologist for the church.
And George, that is, says that he can get Paul Thigpen on this podcast.
Hey, wow.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
So he said, George said, just give him the word and he'll make it happen.
George, you're getting the word.
Okay.
Yep. We've sent up the bat signal.
Yeah,
Paul Thigpen, we want you to come and talk about the rapture trap.
That's right. Okay, so was that an impersonation of me, Tony? Was that you were attempting to do?
That was me accidentally sounding like you because I've been around you for too long.
I wasn't laughing. I was laughing at you back up the podcast, Father Scott. You go yip nop nip. It's Tony's talking. All right, continue. Okay.
So here's my thing. So the rapture, the idea of the rapture. Come on, it's not an old idea.
Well,
it's 200 years.
Why
old.
Are you bringing this up?
And I'll tell you why.
At this reading,
because they use as evidence or even as proof of the rapture, the future rapture, what they say, based on this reading.
Really?
Yeah.
Which part?
There's two people in the field, plowing the field. Suddenly there's one left, one remains, one is left behind.
That's the name of that movie in the book series, Left Behind.
Two women grinding at the mill. Suddenly one is left, another is left behind.
Mm-hmm.
But listen to what the reading says. Can you got that real?
Yeah, I do. By the way, just for the record.
Here's it.
Are you suggesting that rapture is not a Catholic belief?
It's not a Catholic belief.
Ah.
And it shouldn't be a Christian belief at all. Oh, listen. You don't even have to look at that because I can tell you. Jesus said, just as it was in the days of Noah. Was anybody raptured?
Nope.
No.
No, in fact.
Okay, so then he describes what it was in the days of Noah.
Yep.
Okay, so it has nothing to do. Nobody was raptured.
Nope.
Nobody was taken up to the glory.
No, if
of
you
God.
Weren't in the ark, which of course is a precursor, a foreshadowing of the church.
Right.
If you weren't inside the ark, you got swept away in the flood.
In the days of Noah, it was better to be left behind than it was to be taken away. Right. I see how that was misleading.
I'm confused.
What I mean by that is is you're in the ark. It's better to be in the ark than not inside the ark, right? Also, this prophecy. There we go. I was going to say prophecization.
Oh my gosh! What are you drinking?
So I don't know. Some of this weird scotch that someone gave me downstairs. But anyway, so. As a part of this prophecy, what's also going to happen, right? You have the Romans coming back in who are going to lay waste to the Jewish people. So where literally one will be left, two people in the field, one will be left, one will be murdered by the Romans, right? I mean, it's so multifaceted.
Yeah.
Jesus is speaking to the people then and speaking to the people now and then referencing Noah. This has nothing to do with the rapture.
The rapture. Nothing.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, and this is what happens when we delve into personal interpretation of sacred scripture. If we don't have tradition on our side, we don't have the magisterium on our side, right? The church to guide us. Even the scripture says that we need the pillar and foundation of truth, which is the church, St.
Right.
Paul says. That's in Thessalonians.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If we don't have that, then we're bound to make these kinds of silly errors.
So that's my contribution to this.
Yeah, good for you. That's awesome. I'm glad you picked that out because, of course, I thought of it too. When I came across it, I thought of the issue with rapture that some people, even Catholics, sometimes are misled to believe.
But it's that Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, it will be, this is how it's going to be. Okay, so nothing. When we go back to the days of Noah, tell me who was raptured.
Right. Yeah, no, exactly. No. And even more so, it's interesting. And again, I'm so sorry, guys, but I gotta give this up to the lanky guys taking this from them. But what was really interesting, in the days of Noah, right, in the Old Testament, you hear about these Old Testament prophets, these Old Testament figures living for not 80 years, not 90 years. We're talking hundreds of years, right? I think Noah lived, I think it was 800 years or something like that is what it says in the scriptures, right? So in the scriptures, how long does it say he built this ark, this gigantic boat? It wasn't something that, we think of it because we've all seen these movies as a kid where they have, the God comes in this cloud and tells Noah to build the ark. And then it's boom, long 3-day weekend. And he's got the ark up and rolling and all the animals are coming in. Right. But so in the scripture, it says it took him 120 years to build the ark. Right.
Wow.
So what does this mean? In the days of Noah, it'll be like in the days of Noah. So you have this guy, Noah, who got this apparition, this divine inspiration 120 years ago, who's building in faithfulness, mm-hmm. right? Building in faithfulness for 120 years, not knowing the result, not knowing the end, not knowing any of this stuff, just building because he was told to build for 120 years. And then the people who looked to him and said, dude, you're crazy, man. You are just as crazy as can be building. It's almost like, you know, the like in a certain way, like the reversal of the Tower of Babel, right? Like just building and building and building to no end is or what these people are saying. And
It speaks to the perseverance and endurance necessary to live the Christian life.
Way to hold that thought, Will. That
I know. It slipped out.
We're still wondering what's in the glass over there. Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's a brilliant point that the Nike guys make and that you're stealing. But, you know, I'm sure like anything else, it's all good when it's just speaking truth. And the truth is that, yeah, this is a great analogy. We might say metaphor for living the Christian life, a metaphor and the kind of endurance that's necessary. And one of the thought I had about this particular scripture right away is how the church always recommends on the first Sunday of Advent that the gospel reading reflect the nature, of the end times, right? Which should remind us both of the end of our lives,
right,
which is inevitable, right, as well as the end of all time, which is inevitable, as we've been told, right, in the scripture and by Jesus himself. But because we don't know when the end of time will be or when the end of our lives will be, what the church then recommends to us through this kind of reflection that we have now, this reflection period in Advent, is to purify ourselves through good and holy practices and through prayer and through a return to our baptismal innocence through sacrament of confession, etc., in the awesome sacrament of the Eucharist, to prepare ourselves for that end. Mm. We're preparing ourselves for the arrival of Jesus at Christmas and that celebration of the Incarnation, but we should also be using it as a purification preparation for our final end.
Mm-hmm.
And this, of course, is all beautifully connected to nature.
Right.
And the way that nature is reaching its seasonal end, its annual end, only in the spring to become new again.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now, by the way, you just mentioned, you know, always being prepared because we do not know. Jesus said it. You do not know the day or the hour.
Yeah.
So let me tell you this quick story. When summer, like 2-3 years ago, I'm going to play golf at Cochiti. It's about 45 minutes from here. And, you know, you got to cut across the desert and up in the Jemez Mountains where the course is at the foot, right? So I'm driving down just a little two-lane.
Use your word.
Two-lane highway. And so as I'm driving, there's a truck coming the other way, right? And so I see him and he's coming up and, you know, it's a 55 mile an hour limit, right? So I assume he's going speed limit. I'm going the speed limit. So suddenly I see him his truck just starts drifting over into my lane. Okay. To the point that I had to pull off the road, off the shoulder into the desert. And he got close enough to me that I could see he was texting. He looks up and sees what's going on and he jerked the truck back. Had I not been paying attention, who knows, right?
Yeah.
So, right?
I've had a New Mexico driving story like that, too, myself, where I was in the middle of the night, nowhere in New Mexico. I was actually pulling a horse trailer, and I saw the car come into my lane, and I actually went into the other lane to go around the car that had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Scary. That must have been, and they were coming at you fast enough that it they kind of had one of those flash, your life flash before your eyes kind of thing.
Yeah, it was scary. So, you know, stay sober and stay alert. Yep. You never know, right?
You don't know the hour
and
of the day.
If you're on the road, stay sober.
Right, seriously, no kidding.
By all means. Yep. Right.
Well, I was going to mention, too, with this whole idea, what you guys are saying, Archbishop Alexander Sample wrote on Facebook this kind of touching note. He had a friend of his, it was the bishop of, I think it was Duluth.
Duluth, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Who was on his way to Mass for first Sunday of Advent.
Right, for the first Sunday of Advent. And he had a
suffered
cardiac
a heart
arrest.
Attack. Yep. Yeah.
And just on his way to Mass, just passed away right there, a massive heart attack. And so he had just a little reflection, and apparently they were good friends. And so he just says, what an interesting insight into the gospel that we truly do not know the hour nor the day. And I think it's really interesting, Tony, and I'm glad you touched on this, the way the church sets up these readings, because it's kind of weird. It's kind of weird, and I don't have an answer to this, but it's kind of weird how the first two Sundays of Advent all focus on the second coming, right? The second coming and like the end of the world, the end of time, all this kind of stuff. And then the last two Sundays kind of hammer home the incarnation and then the first coming of Jesus into the world. It's really interesting.
Well, it's beautifully aligned. I mean, mm-hmm. the church is guided by the Holy Spirit to have set this up originally.
Right.
Right. In her liturgy. And
I guess weird is the wrong term. I should not use that term to describe it, but yeah.
No, but it seems strange at first, but then you get used to it, and then it just makes sense after a while. Well, yes, of course.
But almost mystical beautiful. In a way.
Yeah, and it is beautiful. And I remember we mentioned this during the feast day of John the Baptist, which kind of traditionally occurs right around the summer equinox when the day is at the longest, right?
And then the shortest. Yeah.
Begin to grow longer because St. John the Baptist has the famous phrase, I must decrease, he must increase. And so is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, the day becomes shorter until Christmas. And then at Christmas, when the day is closest to, you know, it's kind of the shortest, Christ, the light, is born into the world. And then the days become longer and longer and longer.
Well, the equinox means that the day and the night are the same.
Right.
Equal. Oh, is it okay?
Equinox.
Okay.
Yeah. Equa.
Well, my astronomy is off, but.
But no, but, anyway, but it's the, true. And then the day starts, it stays brighter, longer. It gets warmer.
Right. You know, and so that into this world of darkness, into the brokenness of humanity, as you said, Tony, as nature, I mean, before our eyes is passing away, right? The trees, the grass is brown, like all this kind of just really tactile darkness is around us. That's when the light of the world is born into that darkness.
Well, right. And so the first two weeks of Advent, and of course we're reflecting on that now, so not only do we prepare to celebrate the first coming, we must be prepared to meet the Lord when we see him face to face. So that's what the church is calling us to do. And as all those things that Tony talked about a moment ago, you know, preparation, prayer, the sacraments, reconciliation, all of these things, so that when we do meet him face to face, we are prepared. And our Lord said, you know, if you're prepared, then you can stand erect, look up, and rejoice at his coming, right?
Mm, yeah. And what St. Paul says in the second reading, brothers and sisters, you know the time. It is the hour now for you to awake from sleep, for our salvation is nearer now than we first believed. The night is advanced, the day is at hand. Let us then throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light, right? Let us conduct ourselves properly as in the day. It's an amazing reflection, right? Because, and it's not that he's contradicting what Jesus says when Jesus says you don't know the hour or the day, but St. Paul is what he's saying there is since the time of Christ, it is the hour, it is the day, it is the time. It is the time is now. It's not sometime way distant in the future. It's not, you know, it's centuries from now.
Well, in fact, it's almost like, you know, if somebody were to say, were to ask, you know, a spiritual advisor, when would be a good time for me to get my act together? I'm kind of caught up in this rut of like day-to-day living, and I've got all these distractions, work and family and school and all this stuff. And, you know, the question might come, well, at what point in my life should I kind of get my act together and get going again and get back on track? And no doubt the words from St. Paul would apply in this, you know, in this mm-hmm. case now. Like, do it now.
Yeah.
Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait until you've been able to pay that bill that you're struggling to pay off. Like, don't wait for any of that other mm-hmm. stuff to happen.
Well,
first.
It's like the
get right now.
It's like the person who says, "Well, one day I might come back to the church one day," right. But you may not get that opportunity.
Yeah,
yeah. Exactly. Live in the present, man.
Well, and it's charity, right? It's true charity. What doctor, when you go in and if you have some kind of illness, would not say, "Take care of this now. Don't wait until until this spreads throughout the rest of your body and infects the whole body. Take care of it now." Right. No doctor in their right mind would tell you to wait.
That's a great I think it's
charity.
A great
it is a charity. A what?
A metaphor.
Hey, enough with that.
Hey, so in the beginning of the reading, it talks about in the gospel that in those days, in the days of Noah, before the flood, our Lord says they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up until the day that Noah entered the ark. And I think about how oftentimes it is easy to get distracted and sucked into this grind, you know, that goes on in the world. And I look around and it is evident that especially if people who are not in the church are oblivious, right? They're, and maybe many of us too in the church are oblivious to this reality that we know not the day or the hour.
Yeah.
Right. We can very easily get caught up in these distractions and be just like the people who were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage up until the day that Noah and his family walked into the ark. So in other words, we have to know that there is going to be a temptation for us to think, oh, well, we'll see the signs coming well ahead of time. And then we'll get our act together and then we'll get clear and then the light will shine and we'll just know, oh, okay, it's time to go and get in the boat. Mm-hmm. Well, our Lord said the people who were, you know, living on the earth at the time of the flood didn't know all the way up until the point where they saw Noah and his family getting in the ark. And maybe at that moment, once the doors were shutting and getting mm-hmm. sealed, you know, because a flood was coming, did they only then go, oh,
yeah,
maybe we should do something.
And you know what yeah. parable just came to mind? The parable of the wise and foolish virgins.
Mm, yeah, good one. Yeah.
So once the doors were locked.
That was it?
That was it.
Wailing and gnashing of teeth.
There was no opening that door after it was shut.
And that's the funny thing, though, is that in both of these stories, so there were signs, there were things that, there were these road maps or these road signs along the way, right? That these people, if they had the eyes of faith to see, right, they would know.
If they had the eyes, yeah.
I mean, they had 120 years of this guy building this thing and warning them that this is coming and having this perpetual faith that this calamity is going to beset humanity, and it's like, well, whatever. That's so far in the future. I don't have to worry about that now.
Well,
I
mean, shouldn't their own perversity have alerted them? But of course, the thing about perversity and sin is that it blinds us.
That's right. Right?
It blinds us to the
exactly
reality
right.
of things.
Right? That's so true.
We
perversity?
Become insensitive to the reality of our situation with God and the timeliness of the situation we have with God. We don't have forever to live, and sin mm-hmm. blinds us even more to that fact.
And it's true, you know, there are believers and there are atheists, but there are believers who live as if they are atheist.
Practical right. atheism.
Right. That's what it's called. Exactly. Right. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So it's
in fact,
time.
I just came across an old, it was an old encyclical, I think, from Pope John Paul II, who said that Europe, even while John Paul II was alive and writing this encyclical, I think 2003, he said, Europe lives in, the word he said was...
practical atheism.
Practical apostasy.
Oh, really? He said
practical
wow.
apostasy. And apostasy is when you have abandoned, you've been in the church and you've abandoned the faith mm-hmm. intentionally. And he said that, and of course, this is why he called for... a new effort at re-evangelizing that, you know, part of the world where the faith had once been planted firmly. And so, yeah, you're right, Father. We it's not just a, in fact, he even says a silent apostasy is the term he uses. And it isn't it true? Like we're not always going to detect it. Like we might even be doing things that we are not even recognizing we're doing where we've compromised with the world.
Well,
and the flesh and
that.
The devil.
You see that.
Mm-hmm.
Every which way you turn, mm-hmm. you see that.
And so ours could be a silent atheism, even if not a silent apostasy, maybe a silent atheism, or even just a silent cooperation with yeah. the three things that tempt us away from God: the world, the flesh, and the devil.
One of the signs of the end, right, is this apostasy mm-hmm. that's supposed to take place, which we see happening. I see it, sure. Okay, so one last thing, too, is when Jesus would speak about the end, he would say, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. So some non-believers would say, well, that generation he was speaking to is come and gone, and this just didn't happen. So I just want to point out that our understanding of generation isn't what, you know, it's not a good, I don't think, a good translation. It doesn't transmit well what Jesus was saying when he said this generation, because when Jesus spoke to the people around him, he spoke to us. Mm-hmm. All right. So We hear in one of the Psalms about the generation of believers. It means believers from beginning to end.
Mm. Right.
So when Jesus speaks of this generation, he means, you know, the people again around him,
mm-hmm.
but the Christians of the, and the people of the 10th century, the 13th century, and the 21st century.
Mm-hmm. That's so, not a human generation. It's a generation of believers, yeah.
Yeah, right. So it means all of us. So the point is, look, we've all got to be prepared, for we do not know. And if we're, you know, ready when he comes, and it's very, so just maintain your spiritual life.
Yeah.
You know, with the reception of the sacraments and prayer life, got to have a prayer life. You got to spend time with scriptures and, mm-hmm. you know the teachings of your church, you know, and persevere in good times and bad, you know, persevere through it all. And Jesus said of those who persevere, those are the ones who are going to be saved.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that.
All right.
Well, I know our Lord said to stay awake in this gospel, but as soon as this podcast is over, I'm going home, going to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Zing. Mm-hmm. That was a good segue.
Thanks.
Baby.
Mm.
Tony, could you not just spend 1 hour with us?
All right. There are three of us. Oh, my goodness.
Okay. All right, William. Tell the fine folks, all 12 of our listeners, how they can... Oh, Sharon Brito makes 13, so...
Hey-o.
How they can contact us?
Yeah, so you guys can reach out to us, holysmokes@sjvnm.com, through email, or follow us on Instagram, @HolySmokesCatholic, and you can see Tony dressed up like Steve Jobs.
Which I am again tonight.
Last week. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you're not wearing the
More
glasses this time.
No, he came
sure.
in.
Oh, yeah, you have them there.
I've got the glasses that are coming
there. Hey, yeah. It's Steve
are those
Jobs.
Prescription?
It's my, they are not, they're well, they're like Walmart prescription, just, like the Walmart dollar glasses readers. They're readers.
They're like those glasses that are just actual glass inside. There's no prescription just to look cool.
Right. No, they're not fake glasses.
No.
I don't wear them just to look cool. Hey, speaking of things
news,
you can
bro.
Do on the internet that are cool, you can, because it's holidays and it's today's Cyber Monday, by the way. We've already been through Black Friday and now Cyber Monday. Of course, they're running discounts over at ReginaCigars.com. You could get, I think, 15% off
mm-hmm.
of your purchases for loved ones if you want to do that. And of course, all of us would love to be part of your loved one's circle and
Hey-o.
Receive those kinds of gifts. He's also, Peter Bond is also selling coffee now. So you can purchase coffee there too.
It's awesome.
In addition to cigars.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
holy
of course, if you
want to
make a really awesome tithe with your money and spend your money well,
that's right.
Then you can do it by going to the church website, St. John Vianney, sjvnm.org. Yeah,
that's right.
And click the donate button and donate to the building campaign.
Because mm-hmm. we just kicked off our capital campaign.
Yes,
all right. So
did.
Listen, just, you know, be generous, give, build a church, man.
We're going to build a church. It's going to be a huge church.
And if you have some other cool ideas for ways to, you know, or like we said before, product, Catholic products and whatnot
mm-hmm.
that you'd recommend for people yeah. during the Christmas season, because it's, you know, it's a gift buying season, not that that's all that matters. Feel free to hit us up and let us know about those, and we can probably mention
yeah,
them on the air.
Didn't I see you on the news, Tony, trampling some people in Target this Black Friday?
Yeah, I was fighting with people over, I was having a big old brawl over a 6,600-inch
No, it was over
TV.
Over, that's huge. That's
yeah.
like a movie.
As big as this house.
You're doing that over $5 off a colander at Target.
It's the saddest day. I know. It's the saddest day of the year. I was so happy to be so far away.
Yeah, me too. I don't even venture out.
Yeah.
I go celebrate Mass out in the desert, and then I come back home.
Yep, I know.
I don't do that whole mall
just
thing.
Wackiness.
Not my gig.
Well, we have to, I've been saying already for a while, we have to reclaim Advent, right, as the liturgical season that it is. We have to reclaim Christmas, for that matter.
Yep.
If we don't, then civilization may pay for it.
Amen. O come, Emmanuel.
Okay, say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Get your hands off my padrones. If you want one, buy your own. Smoke it up. Get your hands off my padrones. If you need one, get your own and smoke it up.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com. Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.